can be seated. Hallelujah. Well, as we are here tonight talking about kingdom influence, we know that God desires to increase his kingdom, and we want to think about a little bit about what does that mean? What does increasing the kingdom of God, the influence of the kingdom of God mean? What does it look like? I'll tell you, one of the things that I believe it looks like is that there's going to be an influence in prayer, a greater measure. And I've been saying that for some time. I believe that God has really put us up to another level when it comes to our increase in prayer. You know, Sunday morning, I really sensed that the Lord gave us a shot there when it comes to praying and coming, when it comes to praying together and having influence in our prayer room as we prayed together. The power of God really ministered to us, and I feel it was evident in the service as well. I'm believing for that to be an ongoing thing. And we've certainly had visitations in the past, and we've seen things in the past, and absolutely wonderful. But and they're great. It has an influence for a period of time, but as these things increase on an ongoing basis, I know that impartation is going to take place in our people, in our congregation, in a greater measure. And we're going to see people's lives changed. And as I was going through this and preparing it and thinking about the whole concept of increasing, I know that there has to be a body of believers, there has to be a group that are really tuned in to the need for advancing the kingdom and also having a desire to be a part of that advancement. And we've been meeting together now throughout the summer, and more of us and less of us from time to time. But I'm really believing that even within this small group that we are praying and we are believing God for insights into how to advance the kingdom. And as we play our part in being a kind of a core group of trying to advance the kingdom, that will have an influence on others around us as well, and the rest of our fellowship as well who haven't been here. So what does kingdom influence look like? Well, for one thing, it talks about preaching the gospel. You know, one of the areas of kingdom, the way kingdom influence is going to come by preaching the gospel. It's going to come by preaching the message. One way or another, we have to get the message out. Somebody told you some one time about God, about Jesus, and about how you could be saved. And somebody preached the gospel to you. Somebody somewhere told you about the love of Jesus, told you you could be saved, told you your need for salvation, and so forth. And whether it was by reading or somebody telling you, somebody somewhere told you. And it may have been, you might have heard through a preacher when somebody invited you to church. Well, somebody invited you. And once you came, you heard. And so those are areas of that we can recognize very clearly. One of the aspects of advancing the kingdom is the gospel must be preached. And so, and people have to hear it. And so we cannot neglect that whole area of not only witnessing when God puts it on our heart to witness and to speak to people about the love of Jesus, but also to invite people to church. That is so crucial. Most of the people who ever entered the doors of the church come because somebody invited them. 86% of people come to church because somebody invited them. That's a pretty big percentage. So if we're missing out on that area of inviting people to church, we're missing out on the greatest potential that there is of seeing people come to Jesus. So one aspect is preaching the gospel. Another is setting the captives free. People are bound in this world today by addictions and all kinds of things. It may be by spiritual harassments and so forth. But part of preaching the gospel, part of getting the gospel message out, is setting people free from the bondages that the world has them wrapped in. Also, another one is bringing peace. Peace to the unsettled. The lion will lay down with the lamb. The world is in a place of turmoil today. There's people are running around. Sometimes they get both the husband and wife work, and sometimes they get two or three jobs and trying to run the household with kids as well. And they're going here and there, desperately need the peace of God upon their lives. As we preach the peace of God, as we administer the peace of God, hopefully it helps, it helps bring balance into people's lives so that they'll be enjoying the peace of God. as opposed to trying to run around, trying to, in their own strength, make ends meet. That's a deception that has come upon the world, and many Christians have fallen into it, that we have to work an unbalanced life in order to enjoy things, enjoy life. That is a perception of the world. It doesn't hold any weight at all in the kingdom of God. God doesn't desire for us to work an unbalanced life. He desires us to work in such a way, we're supposed to work now, on an unbalanced way also would be not working at all. The scripture says if you don't work, then you don't eat. But he does say that he speaks to us about a balanced life, that we don't unduly put so much emphasis on our work, our effort, that we forget that God says he'll bless us if we take time for him. So peace is a big part of advancing the kingdom of God, and of course also influence in government. Of course, this is the huge one. Advancing the kingdom of God, and to see community transformation, there has to be influence in government. To see community transformation, there has to be influence in every aspect of government, every aspect of society. There has to be influence in the justice system, the educational system, the entertainment system, the medical system. All those areas have to be influenced by the kingdom of God. That's what God desires to do, to bring influence into all these spheres of society. And when that takes place, then society begins to be transformed. So we want to look at a scripture, too, concerning the influence of the kingdom of God and what the scripture says about Jesus. I love the scripture because it talks so much about the very influence of the kingdom of heaven upon the earth. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall be perform this. So God is going to perform the advancement of the kingdom of God. He can do it. He's going to use you and I to do it through, but the real work is up to him. But he desires for us to be participating with him in advancing the kingdom of God. And notice now, it says, of the increase and peace, there will be no end. Of the increase of his government, in other words, his government comes and begins to influence, and it'll influence, and it'll influence, and it'll influence, and it'll continue throughout eternity. That means even over into eternity, when we get over there, the influence of the kingdom of God is still going to be increasing. It's going to continue to influence. So I believe that even as we see the nation of Canada, and we certainly have a Christian influence in the nation of Canada, but it is constantly to be increasing and influencing in every area. And then as this nation has influence and is influenced by the kingdom of God, this nation then influences other nations by the kingdom of God. What a very interesting thing just I heard recently. I was in a meeting and there was this lady there, a Chinese lady. I didn't know this, but she started at least one Chinese church in Charlottetown. And they meet at the Southern Baptist Church. They rent some space there and they meet Sunday afternoon to minister to the immigrants that are coming from China. And there's quite a few of them. Actually, I think a couple of weeks ago, they baptized 32 people. So they got saved since they came here. And now, like she was saying, they're very transit. They go into other, they come here to PEI, but then they end up in Toronto and Vancouver and other places. But now they're going to save people. They're going to these cities to save people. And also, the people who come from China to work in the fish factories here. I was amazed. There's at least a couple of hundred that she talked about that comes and they stay here for 6 months, then they go back to China. But she's going down to those areas in Murray Harbor and in Surrey when the fish plant was open there, and she was having meeting with these people and getting them saved. They were going back to China now, save people and wanting to start churches in China. Isn't that awesome how the kingdom of God, when it increases in this nation, can go to other nations and influence? Praise God. It's wonderful. these Chinese people are being ministered to in their own tongue. One of the things, she made a statement, and I think it's very true, of all the immigrants or all the people in the world today, it seems like the Asians, especially Chinese, are more susceptible to the gospel than any other. It seems that they're very quick to embrace it. And one of the things about the Chinese people is they're doers. Praise God. So his government is being increased. Increasing kingdom influence over Prince Edward Island. We live in this part of the island. I think, you know, we are going to have to give an account for the degree that of effort that we put forward in trying to influence Prince Edward Island with the kingdom of God. I know that as we influence Prince Edward Island, the birthplace of our nation, it'll go across our nation as well. But primarily, you and I are going to, you know, stand before God one day. We'll be asked a question, what did we do to influence the place where you were put? What have you done to influence the, or to promote the influence of the kingdom of God where God caused you to be born or God brought you to? God is going to demand an answer from that. And I want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, in that regard. Now, Alistair Petrie, when he comes here, he's going to be talking about these very things. He's going to be talking about how to transform communities, how to transform regions. And he will be giving us some clues of how to pray into these things. And it's going to be very important for us to be able to have sharp ears, to be able to hear what the Lord is saying through this man who has so much experience in this area. Increasing kingdom influence. The purpose of the kingdom of God coming into the kingdom of man is to impact the kingdom of man in such a way that God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. This is key. God is invading our environment today. He's invading our lives in order for the kingdom of God influences to come. We are asking the kingdom of God to come and invade our kingdom, if you will. God said, let us make man in our image and let him have dominion. So he's given man a dominion. He's given man a kingdom. He's given man a rule. God is saying, I want to come into your kingship, your rulership, and rule through you. That's what he always wanted to do. That's what he wanted to do through Adam and Eve from the very beginning, that Adam and Eve would stay connected with God on an ongoing basis. And, you know, I'm convinced God helped Adam to name all the animals. I mean, Adam spoke them out and he named them, but God had influence in Adam's life to do that. Well, just the same way as the way things should be done on Prince Edward Island and governments, God wants to have influence in those areas so that we'll think the way he does when it comes to how to govern, and we'll be able to speak forth, and governments will be able to speak forth from the way things really are, not the way that they're necessarily presented to us. Not because somebody, you know, we say in this world, squeaky wheel gets the grease. Well, that's not necessarily always the way in the kingdom of God. And sometimes that squeaky wheel gets paid attention to in the natural because it's annoying. But in the kingdom of God system, only those things that are right to do will be done. If we have wisdom, and we have the wisdom from heaven, then only those things that are really conducive with the standard of righteousness that God has in the kingdom of God will be done. Because remember, the kingdom of God, the scepter of the kingdom of God is a kingdom of righteousness. That's why it's so important, and we've been praying now for many years, been praying, God, reveal any injustices in our land and in our government. If things are going wrong in government, then reveal it. Because your kingdom is a kingdom of justice. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of righteousness. So there has to be right standing in every area for the kingdom of God to go forth and for the kingdom of God to be influential. And so government is doing things wrong. If they're, you know, rubbing one another's back with favors and so forth, reveal it. Reveal it so that justice will come. So that the kingdom of God will prevail. Many times we forget, we think, well, the kingdom of God, Jesus paid the price for our sin, and so, you know, everything kind of can go, so many things can get away, can be gotten away with. But no, not in the kingdom of God. kingdom of God, there's perfect justice. There is always perfect justice in the kingdom of God because God is the God of justice. And I thank God that you and I were deserving of hell. We were deserving of death because of our own sin. Why didn't God just say, okay, I just forgive you. I'll just wipe that out. No, there had to be, God's justice had to be fulfilled. That's why Jesus had to come, he had to die, and he had to pay the price for our sin. Somebody had to pay the price for our sin. I thank God it wasn't us. I mean, the grace of God is awesome. And Jesus came and paid the price for our sins so that justice could be held. So that now when Satan accuses us before God, our advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, stands up and say, oh, no. I paid the price. I paid the price of death for them. Their price of death has already been paid. Praise the Lord. You know, if we were to go and, you know, we were get into some kind of accident, let's say, and we get sued and, you know, $1 million, we got to pay $1 million. And you know, we'd look there and we think, how would we do that? And all of a sudden, a millionaire stands up and says, that's okay, Your Honor. I'll take care of that. Then I'm totally free. Somebody had to pay it, though, but I'm free. Now, that's the way it is with Jesus. Somebody had to pay it, and he paid it. Praise God forever. And the church's preparation for revival. Now, we're talking about kingdom influence, so we can't help but talk about revival as well. Revival is simply means a revival of, and many times, what you and I have experienced from the very beginning. When we came to Christ, didn't you have such an awesome joy when you came to Christ that you're just it's something that just absolutely thrilled you? Well, sometimes revival can mean getting back to that. Getting back to that joy that you experienced from the very beginning when you realize that the joy has come into you because of what Jesus has done for you. You suddenly had a revelation that you're on the road to hell, and God changed that road. He changed that direction. He changed that path that you were on, and he brought you into a place of salvation, and you just can't think about thanking him enough. You were so happy and you were so joyful. The zeal of the Lord is upon us when we get into that place. I think I mentioned one night, you know, just in an experience of talking to a lady after not too long after she got saved, and I was just visiting them, and on the way out, we started talking at the door for a minute, and she started talking about Jesus, and she just kind of, the tears started running down her face, and it was tears of joy, just that unction of the Holy Spirit was upon her, witnessing to her all that God had done for her. And sometimes revival can mean coming back to that state and taking off from there. Revival can mean a revival of the glory of God that we might may have experienced through any life experience or Christian experience that we had. Sometimes we go through experiences or seasons in our life where it seems like God is around us all the time. God is just with us all the time, and it seems like the joy of the Lord is on us, and then we can get into other places sometimes because of the pressure that's on us in the world that we kind of lose that a little bit. Well, revival can mean that we come back to that. But it also means, in you know, all intents and purposes, it also means that we become a people that are so walk in the zeal of the Lord in such a way that people gather to us. People ask us, what has given us life? What's the source of the joy in our lives? And so people end up getting saved in that context as well. So the church's preparation for revival is in many ways more important than the actual revival itself. Through proper preparation, God is able to position his people with a certain posture and authority that welcomes his presence into the community. What that simply means about is that when we are praying for revival, when we're entering into revival, we're entering into it with a humility that honors the Lord at all times, and that the Lord actually changes our heart so that when revival does come, we don't get a haughty spirit. Look at us, come to our church, we've got it all. Well, if we've done proper preparation in revival, we'll not come with that attitude. will come with the humility of heart, just so thankful for what the Lord is doing, and come with a fear of the Lord upon us, that we might not do anything that would hinder the revival, that we would hinder what God is doing. If we'll come that way, then God can open the door to revival, so that it cannot only be a flash in the pan, but it'll be an ongoing, awesome move of the Spirit. Praise God. The preparation can determine if the revival is pure or a mixture of both spirit and flesh. It can determine if it will fall into the hands of man or be carried by the Spirit, carried along by the Spirit. In other words, again, proper preparation. And I believe that's what we are doing here. I believe when we're coming together, we are showing that we have a thirst for more of God. We have a desire to grow in Him. We have the desire to take on the characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that what God does is not hindered by a mixture of the flesh and the spirit.